Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back, Sports to the Max. This is a fun one. Kevin Hartzell, Jeff Teal in the studio. 40-year reunion coming up for the Gopher National Championship hockey team. Plus, they're both involved in hockey and have been involved in hockey really for all their lives, coaching, associations, everything else. We'll talk state of the hockey, Gopher hockey, and much more. Gentlemen, thank you for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
It's fun to go down memory lane once in a while. And as you guys talked about, your freshman 40 years ago, now there's going to be a reunion. I want to start right there because my first thought is, what was it like to get recruited by Herb Brooks, and what was it like when you got to campus with him?
Well, I remember he actually took me around campus.
You know. Now, go back another minute. Did it mean a lot at that time? This is obviously before he had won the Miracle on Ice, but they had a good program. Did it mean a lot to be recruited by him?
Well, I think everybody – I don't know if it was so much him for me. It was just the University of Minnesota. And it's funny because I'm somebody who would consider myself kind of an average hockey player and all, you know, all the big scheme of things. But I had played in the World Junior Tournament, and I hadn't – I still didn't have a scholarship, so that's a little bit not typical.
Yeah, you don't see that often, do
you? Most of the kids are already in college, and they're playing, and I think we had a few of us that at that time still didn't have scholarships. Well, anyway, I did well in the World Tournament, so for about a month, I was recruited by a lot of people, and so it was really kind of an experience that I didn't see coming. And so for me, but it really got down to Minnesota hockey was just what it was back then. It was all Minnesota kids, and kind of really stood for something. And he just wanted to be a Gopher, I think, at the end of it. I don't know Jeff's story, but...
Well, Jeff, you came from their side of the... I mean, southern Minnesota, the only place they had hockey was Rochester, as I recall. I don't even know who your closest competitor was at that time.
Honestly, this may sound funny, but I literally didn't know there was college hockey until probably my sophomore year.
Yeah, because if it ain't round and doesn't go through a hoop, they're not allowed to, you know, they're not talking about it much.
Exactly. We had John Marshall, Mayo... And there was a private school down there, Lewards, at the time. We had a great hockey association growing up because a lot of our dads played hockey and taught us the game. And so we had a lot of good players down there. And I do remember my junior year, Herb being in the stands a few times and people pointing out who he was. So, I mean, and my dad knew who he was because they played hockey together a little bit. So I knew he was there. I didn't know he was there specifically watching me, but... you know, so it got your attention, and you made sure you showed up and played hard.
Okay, so now you get to camp, your first camp as freshman. And we obviously have all been enthralled with and mesmerized by the Miracle on Ice and everything else. I'm guessing that those tactics were employed at the college level as well, particularly in the preseason. What do you remember about, Jeff, you can start this one, you know, the first practices as a college hockey player?
It's very difficult. I think it's nerve-wracking. He ran a great practice, but I guess coming in as a freshman, you didn't realize how hard you were going to work, and that started pretty much from day one. You know, the term Herbies, which everyone has heard of. I mean, that was a consistent theme through the whole first year. I mean, Mondays – in camp, even more so, but Mondays was 45 minutes in the end of practice. Tuesdays were
45 minutes?
35 or 40 minutes. Wednesdays were about 25 or 30 minutes. And then you know.
And I remember a day, I don't remember anything else other than one. We went to Augsburg for whatever reason. We didn't have ice at the old Williams Arena. I don't remember. But we seemed to start at Augsburg almost every year, didn't we?
Yep.
Anyway, that was Herbie's year because we only had him for 1 year. But I remember a practice that, like, he just wouldn't stop. It was like another one, another one, another. And we couldn't even move. It's like you couldn't get any more tired because nobody could move anymore. And I remember thinking, like, what are we doing? Like, what are we doing?
What's the point?
Yeah, because the only point was, I suppose he just wanted to see if anybody would quit. Maybe he was about to quit, but nobody was going to quit. So we just kept going and going, and that's what it was.
And as you look back now, is that what it was, or did he want the best condition and the most mentally tough? And if you could get through that, you'd believe that a game would be easy.
Well, I've said, and Teely knows this, that I felt really fortunate. I played back-to-back for Doug Woog and Herb Brooks. You know, I had Doug Woog with the St. Paul Vulcans And I learned as a young coaching prodigy, at least I thought I knew I wanted to be a coach, but they were really different. You know, Wooger was kind of the school teacher, real jovial, and he was a teacher. And I really think he was the perfect guy for me to have in junior hockey. And I think he was a better choice than Herbie would have been. And then you get to college, and Herbie was, he was the mad chemist who just understood all the intangible things. I to this day, I won't say was he the greatest tactician I'd been around. Nope. But I think he was the best at just all the intangibles, from chemistry to psychology to all the things that really in the end is what you win with.
Was he purposely intimidating?
You rarely talk to him.
No, he wasn't intimidating. You never talked to him.
you didn't dare talk to him almost. But I would add on that, the only thing I would add was just his mantra was, we're going to be the best conditioned team in the league. No one's going to beat us in the third period. And whether or not we believed we were, certainly by all the skating that we did, we certainly believed we were. And we never really did get outplayed in the third period when we were there.
Now, another part of that was that you don't see as much today, except for by the exception of Neil Broughton, who left early. But most of the players played till they were seniors, right? So you had kind of an all-star cast of seniors at this point in time that had really good careers. And it's not that doesn't happen anymore, but many times the senior class, by the time it gets there, Minnesota is, you know, three guys, you know.
Yeah.
But you had Bill Baker and those guys. And
we were a little bit of a mix because when I look at some of our better – you're right. They were there longer for sure. There's no doubt about that. But I think like Christoph was only a junior and Neil was obviously a freshman. And well, these were guys who were going to play in the Olympics the following year, right?
Did they know it at that time? No, they hadn't even tried out yet.
No, it was a tryout and there was.
You might have known they had a shot.
Yeah, that was a whole story to itself, obviously. But to have eight teammates move on to the Olympics next year, I don't think we even thought about it.
No. Certainly not.
Yeah, and were they eyeing the Olympics? Was it a tryout for it? I don't know. Did you know Herb was going to be the coach of the Olympic team at that time?
I don't remember. Do you remember?
I don't remember knowing that he's going to be the coach. I think I remember hearing about it in the summer.
Right.
You know, after the season.
I think the world was different back then, too. I really do. I mean, we weren't, you know, obviously the world's changed, and there's technology, and there's social media. And I think one of the charms of that life is we did live today. You know, in today's moment.
Because you didn't have any choice, right?
Yeah, I mean, what else? I mean, I don't recall really ever having a thought about the Olympics were coming up. We had a good team, you know, and we were just living in that moment.
Well, what was it like for you guys to observe the 80 Olympics then, having played for that coach and having eight teammates on there? What was it like for you guys to watch that?
It was a little bit surreal, honestly, and... You know, just and seeing them continue to, you know, win this game, win that game, beat the Russians. It was like, I guess, like how everyone else thought it was like, it's kind of unbelievable.
You know? My whole memory is a different memory, but they beat the Russians and they got to beat Finland to win the gold medal. And Phil Verkota had been our captain. Phil was a great captain, great guy from Duluth. But anyway, if you remember, they were like, I can't remember if we were winning by one. You know, you got to win. But anyway, Phil took a marginal penalty. Remember that with about 10 minutes left in the third period? I mean, it was some point in the third period, and they showed him on the in the penalty box. And I knew he was just scared. I mean, scared to death.
knew what he was thinking.
Yeah, I knew what he was thinking. Like, it was a marginal penalty. Here's one of the great guys. I mean, great guys. Cares about everything. I just remember going, oh, Phil.
Oh, no.
Obviously, it all worked out great.
But you knew what Herbie might say to him is what you're saying.
I don't know. Yeah. It was one of those things. It wasn't like he did anything wrong. It just was a penalty he probably wished wouldn't have happened.
Mike Ramsey was on that team, too. And I remember Mike telling me once that after they're watching the games in Lake Placid, tape delayed because they weren't broadcast live, and they sat in the bar or the restaurant, whatever it was, with other people watching, and the people were not even aware that they were standing next to players on the team because you didn't know who any of these guys were, you know?
Right.
But that was obviously a magical time, and it's fun to relive. And when Kurt Russell came out with the movie, I ran across it the other day. You always stop and watch, don't you?
Yeah.
Yes.
Sure. We'll take a break, come back, talk about hockey these days, the reunion that will be, and much more. Jeff Teal, the Harts, Kevin Hartzell in studio, Sports to the Max, News Talk 830 WCCO. Welcome back, Sports to the Max. Kevin Hartzell, Jeff Teal in studio. 40 years ago, they were part of that Gopher team. and they will remember that coming up, a special reunion coming up soon. But let's talk a little bit about the state of hockey. Jeff, you're still active in the Minnetonka Hockey Association. Hartsey, you coached for years out there. The USHL. Is hockey in Minnesota better than it's ever been? Is it the same? Is it what?
Well, of course, these are just, you know, opinions, but I think hockey everywhere is physically better than it's ever been at every level. I mean,
because the training's so good?
Training's really good. I mean, so the skating, in my opinion, is better. Shooting, I mean, everything's better. Now, if we want to have a discussion about do the players think it any better? Personally, I don't think so. I think the game's really hard. And I always say it's like, people have to remember, we think football, the quarterback position in football is one of the harder positions. We've seen it. We watch it Sunday to Sunday,
maybe
right?
The most difficult.
You put a lot of pressure on a quarterback, and we can make the game can make a really good quarterback. Even a Drew Brees on occasion, you go, oh, my God, like tonight he's average. Well, hockey's, that's what we're dealing with. I mean, everybody has that puck's got to play quarterback. It's not easy to do. But I also think, you know, the game's gotten harder. It's gotten faster. But it's there's just less, you know, the old rink rat still. You get that experience of just being out and being creative and seeing things. And I just think sometimes maybe that's – I don't know what's lacking, but it's still so good. It's so fun to watch, and I love watching every level because of how well they skate. Like, you don't see any – I mean, you go to a youth game, you go, wow, these kids really skate pretty good. So there's a lot of real positives for sure. I don't know what you see, Jeff.
Yeah, well, I'd agree. I mean, the skill level, the materials, and I mean, USA Hockey's done a great job, and Minnesota Hockey just supplying us with drills, and you know the ADM model, which USA Hockey came out with, is a big deal, and so you're seeing better skills all the way through. And again, you know, the kids that really excel are the ones that can think the game the best. Those are the...
Well, what does that mean in hockey terms? I played basketball. What does think the game mean? What is a great thinker of the game of hockey? What does that mean?
You know, I think they just have an innate sense of being in the right place at the right time.
Where the puck's going to be before it's there?
Yeah.
The old
yeah.
Gretzky?
Yeah, like Neil Broughton. I think of Neil Broughton. I mean, he's making passes. You're going like, where's he going with this?
He had no idea how good he was, did he?
No.
He was so good. And so, and no one's... You can't stack up against a Neil Broughton. But, I mean... Those kids that are just in the right place at the right time, you know, when they need to be. I mean, they're,
no, I don't remember his name. Number 15 at Creighton High School. I'm sorry, I don't remember your name off the top of my head. But I've watched Creighton. I've seen Creighton twice. And then when you see a player like that, like he expects the puck, and right at that moment's when he should get it. But it's high school, and the kids don't always see it. Right?
But he knows that he's going to be a good college
player.
The kind, huh?
Yeah, he should be. He's going to be a good college player because he just sees the game. So. You know, just an awareness and that thing that a lot of athletes have at each level. And sometimes they have more awareness on defense, or that it's a spacing issue. It's a vision issue, but they sense all those things. So it's, I know I always tell teams if you want to be a good team, number one, everybody's head's got to be on a swivel. So I can work with you. If I think you need a little more, a little less, and we're going to work together because the coach isn't out there with you. So if everybody's got to have some awareness of what's going on. And so if I watch a team and they're puck watchers, that's the first thing if I'm helping them, that's the first thing I'll say is, like, too much watching the puck. You got to know what's going on away from the puck. And, of course, Gretzky had probably the best vision ever, right? And then the rest of humankind fell somewhere below that.
When you were coaching the USHL, guys would come to you, everybody had the same goal, get a scholarship. Maybe some of them had a scholarship, but they were, you know, asked to mature a little bit. What was it that you looked for, and what was it that they didn't have in general when they'd get there that they needed to have?
Well, really, just what we're talking about, whether you're whatever type of player you are, do you have enough vision and understanding how to apply those abilities on the ice during the game? And what you found is most of the kids at the USHL level do have that.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're 18. Actually, now they're younger than ever. They're 16, 17. So a lot of it's physical maturity and, you know, just basic maturity in general, which we all grow up as we grow up. And 16 is pretty young, right?
Yeah.
So... But hockey doesn't give you much more time. By the time you're 18, 19, you're being placed in the colleges, and you're not allowed to kind of slough off and kind of be the snowflake or the millennial, they say, don't want to mature till 30.
No,
in hockey, they don't give you that choice.
It's the only sport of all our major sports where, I mean, you're drafting kids that are all 18.
Right.
You know, every other sport, they're, you know, between usually 21 and 24 or, you know, whatever it is. Hockey, these scouts better have a pretty good idea what they're, and that's why I guess they miss so much.
And as good as all these players are, then you show up, and like we would, Johnny Gaudreau was playing for Dubuque, and then you play against a Johnny Gaudreau, and then he's got a whole nother level again.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty, the sport's amazing. It takes a lot of different skills to really, you know, to be a good player and to be a good team.
Jeff, one of the things that Minnesota tried to do to keep more kids playing high school hockey was to extend, you know, play more games, enhance the schedule so that there wouldn't be as much temptation to go play in the juniors or to leave, you know, high school hockey before. Do you think in general that's worked?
I think anything they can do on that end will help.
They got the fall league, I guess, as well, too, right?
Right. Yeah, and the fall elite league's been a big draw for the high school age kids, so they can get some looks from scouts. And
yeah, because they're all
get some good
show
experience.
Up there, right?
Yep, good experience with really good coaches. So I think it's helped for sure.
And some different coaches, and they don't hear the same voice all the time. Huh?
Exactly.
More great hockey talk when we come back. Sports to the Max on News Talk 830 WCCO. Welcome back. Jeff Teal, Kevin Hartzell in studio talking what else hockey.
Hey, Maxie, I have something for you. I, you know, we've done this before,
yeah,
but I really wanted to do this again. I just want to really congratulate you on, you know, on your job promotion. I don't know, what's the official title? Do you have, like, a title? Sports director? Whatever,
well,
I know, you're not a title kind of guy. Yeah. I get all that. But you've just done such a good job for so long, and you did it the whole time being a good guy and just being a Minnesota. You know, you can kind of smell and feel your Minnesota roots, which is what I think a lot of us like about you, right?
Well, I appreciate that.
So I think there's, I wanted to congratulate you.
Kevin Ziegler taught me that.
He's the best.
He's a good man, isn't he?
Yeah. Ziegler is the best.
Well, Jeff Teal and Kevin Hartzell talking hockey. When you see the Gopher program today, it's just different. You know, none of us ever thought that it would be at a point where the ticket would be that easy to come by, and, you know, they'd be playing to half-empty arenas. And I don't think, you know, there's a number of factors. It's not just that they haven't won a championship for a while. There's a lot of things that go into it. Jeff, you started. What do you see when you see the Gopher hockey program today?
You know, I mean, I don't have the answer. I think now I've been fortunate enough to meet Bob Motzko a couple of times now, and I am really optimistic that he's going to turn it around, and whatever that means.
Yeah.
You know, they're in a very tough league. Very good teams, so it's not easy to win games there. I think it's just the dynamic with kids that leave and trying to find that right. You know, you got to be a little bit older,
mm-hmm.
to be able to take it to the house, you know. And I think from what I've seen, we just don't seem like we're quite old enough over the last few years. So,
what do you see, Hartsey?
Oh, jeez. I kind of promised myself not to really say.
Well, just tell us what you can say, just from a fight. It's hard to kind of get your arms around this one.
Here's what I can say.
And by the way, I do believe part of it that people don't. I think that the major league sports teams in this town, and this is the function of the leagues they play in, they become year round, meaning they're in the news cycle all the time. Because when it's the offseason, it's who they're going to sign for free agency. In every the Vikings, the Timberwolves, and the Minnesota Wild. And I think that over time, they have steamrolled the Gophers in terms of marketing. But go ahead.
Well, there's a lot of things. This is something I probably could talk about or write a book about, really. But because I think I've had a pretty good window seat to a lot of what's gone on. And you're right. It's no one thing. It's a lot of things. But I think the one thing I can say for certainty and be a positive guy is that hockey's gotten so good everywhere else.
Yep.
You know,
and you can't have them all, so other teams are going to be.
It's funny, and I won't make any friends saying this, and I've been kind of famous for saying what I say, and I don't, you know, it is what I think. It's just an opinion. But I actually think we need the USHL more than we've ever needed it. Like, hockey's gotten so good everywhere else. You look at where first-round draft picks come from at times. Arizona. I mean, think about this.
Yeah, you see these names pop up. And
think
going,
about where some of
these players where's he playing? What kind of club team is that, you know?
And you know what? They move and improve, and it's just the way it is. I mean, if they're really, really good, Johnny Gaudreau is not at home. You know, he's not at home.
Yep.
And hockey's gotten so good, and these kids now have such great competition. The USHL is a freakishly good league where there's no league like it in the world. I'm not here to promote the USHL, but you look at the league, virtually every player on every team is going to play Division I hockey. Where do you find a league like that? basketball, and there's no league like that. A league where everybody's going to play Division I college hockey.
The other thing that it's unique to is hockey. I mean, as a basketball player, I'd have loved to have gone away and played 2 years before I ever used any eligibility.
Right.
It's unique to hockey. You know what's going to come up next? You mark my words. When Vince McMahon gets hold of this football league he's going to create, you know what he's going to do to make it different? He's going to say, if you're 18, you come and play here instead of go play college. And then if you're good, we'll send you on to the NFL. You watch that.
Wow.
That's just an aside. But I
don't know about that. But hockey, it has gotten really, really good. Again, not only the skills are better here, but you can go watch a game probably in Florida, a kid's playing, and go, hey, they're pretty good.
How are they developing down there? Is there just a half a dozen teams and a bunch of good coaches or what?
Yeah, I think so. You know, and they have ice time. You know, and once they built NHL rinks, they had to build practice rinks, and then they had to sell ice time. And, you know, one of our old friends, Stan Hubbard, he's got a team in, you know, Albuquerque, New Mexico, and they fly all over and they do what they do. And so hockey players, they're just coming from everywhere.
There are some levels they play a lot of games. You know, Bantams will play more games than high school teams. Well, do you think hockey is a sport? Like sometimes when I watch youth baseball, I think cut the games in half and take the same amount of time and just do skill work because you're so short on skill work and you're playing so many games. Where does hockey fit in that circle? In other words, can a kid in the South develop? And I'll start with you, Jeff, because if you get the right coach and you work on the right fundamentals, you don't have to play a ton of games. You just have to master your craft.
I would agree, and I haven't seen as much as Kevin, but I do know that you know in Phoenix, they'll bring in a coach that he's paid a salary, you know, a decent salary, and he's got two good assistants, so those kids are getting the best training that they can get. You know, the hockey itself, it might be costing 20 or 30 grand a year to travel around the country and play in these tournaments. But I agree, coaching is so important, and it's how he trains those players and teaches them the different skills and putting them in situations where they can learn to be have good hockey sense and play well.
My son Eric went to Quinnipiac, and I have to admit, I didn't know a lot about Quinnipiac when he first decided to go there. Well, a few years later, they're number one in the country. They didn't win the national championship, but then Eric graduated, and a couple years later, I turned the TV on, and they're playing North Dakota in the national championship game again. And I just happened to look at, you know, college hockey, and here they are. I don't know if they're ranked number two or something again. Quinnipiac.
Yep.
Middle of Connecticut.
Yep.
Beautiful little school.
Small school.
But they have great hockey teams.
Yep.
So there's just such good hockey everywhere you go.
So your third lines are better than they've ever been.
For sure.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Minnesota high school hockey right now. What I like about it right now is you look right now, and Minnetonka's clearly probably the favorite again this year. If the Brink kid would have come back, they'd be the prohibitive favorite. But there's a lot of really good teams. But I would worry a little bit about hockey becoming the way of the western suburbs and being a money sport. Do you see that? The disparity in income and the ice time that you're afforded create, while it's great, there are certain places that will never be able to compete because you don't have parents that can buy enough ice time.
I think there's definitely something to that. It's an expensive sport.
And not just hockey, but tennis, and there's lots of sports like that. But
right.
it's almost like if you're not in the right suburb, you need not apply to win a championship. You better want to get something else out of this.
Yeah. I mean, and if you're a mom and dad and you have a son that wants to play a sport and you're looking at $3,000 or $4,000 a year for hockey or $600 or $700 for another sport, unless you have hockey in your blood, you know, they're probably
it's a decision to be made. Yep.
Exactly. You know,
and the other thing that I've
seen. And by the way, I always tell these hockey parents this with my kids, don't ever complain to me until you've had a daughter in gymnastics. Because they got a fee every time you walk in the door, and it's $9,000 by the end of the year before you know it. Go ahead, Archie.
You know, the other thing I was going to say, Maxie, and it's right, but for those that are dedicated to hockey, they can find a program, right? Now, we have a lake place up in outside of International Falls on Rainy Lake. And as we all know, the International Falls Broncos used to just be a staple to the state tournament. But those kids up there aren't even really afforded that opportunity because the rink closes in the summer. There aren't enough numbers to, you know, it costs money to run a rink.
So now try to develop yourself. And if your friends aren't doing it, right?
Right. So now it's like, so you almost have to move away in the summer if you're going to go train. Where the Twin Cities kids, like you brought up the question, is western suburbs. If those kids want to play hockey,
here's velocity sports. Here's the other sports. Here's the whatever, and you also got great knowledge of it because your friends are doing it. I heard about Duluth East kids coming down and training in at the Minnesota Maid, you know, right. in the summertime, and obviously they had a great team. That's why it was great a few years ago when Grand Rapids played Morehead in the championship, I thought, because I think that was a really important statement to make, that hockey's alive and well, and you can do it. Might be more work, but you can do it now at state.
More resources, better coaching than ever. I think everybody's a little more enlightened. I mean, goaltenders, you can barely tell a goalie from a goalie because they're all so well-schooled now.
Okay, so your son coaches goalies now, but was a goalie. I've always wondered this, and I ask this question frequently. What is the definition of a good goalie, and how do you know at a young age whether or not you might want to take your kid and move them to that position as opposed to playing forward or defense? Well, what are you looking for skill set?
My wife is not here. She would tell you that mothers don't let their sons play goaltender.
Because you can't watch that game,
she hated every minute of it. Very nervous. Yeah, mothers
she's
have
from Morton, right?
Yeah, from Morton, yeah.
She saw the Gallery Boys play for
That's crying out loud, man.
Right.
But she hated every minute of it. But I think it's the same thing. I think there's a computer chip in there.
Do you
First
really?
Of all, they have to be able to skate. You know, they have to be able to get from, even though it's a small area, they have to get from point A to point B. And then I think there's a computer chip. Yeah, I really do.
So why now, and again, need not apply, if you're not 6'3", you need not apply to play a goalie. I mean, Alex Stalock might be the last one to make it in that's not 6'3 or 6'4", it seems like. Do we frame these kids at some point in time? You got to be careful of that because the NHL certainly looks like the bigger the better.
I don't know. I don't feel you got any.
I agree. I mean, it appears that way. I mean, I think the style where they're, you know, now they're covering the whole lower half of the ice.
It's
down.
It's like the more space you can cover naturally,
if you're a little
right?
bit bigger, you're covering more space and at that top level, I mean, the shooters are so good that you give them 3 or 4 inches, the puck's going to go in there.
It's incredible.
The time.
It is
unreal.
Yeah. When you see or you watch the replay and you go, he did what? You know? Or when you watch these guys in overtime and there's a power play and it just gets free. Man, you got for us as journalists, the best is when you go to a practice and you go down with the ice and you go, man, when they're left to their own devices, these guys are so good, it's not, you know, you can't put it into words.
I feel that way. And, I really do skill-wise feel that at every level. I can have fun going out watching a peewee game, and I'm like, they skate so much better than not that long ago. So it's impressive. And obviously the guys are making it to the NHL. I'm amazed most nights.
Yeah, and the way they see the game, I guess, what they see for openings and all those things. Yeah. When you think about it, trying to score a goal in the NHL is really, really hard. I mean, think about what you're up against, right?
Yeah.
Right.
You know,
sure.
What have the Wild done for Minnesota hockey, do you think?
I think the Wild's been great. I mean, for all those years where we didn't have the Stars left town, get the Wild back. I think it's been great. You know, I'm hoping they can make a run at some point here pretty soon. Who's to say?
Yeah, they're kind of stuck in quagmire right now. You know, they got a bunch of guys with long in the tooth, and you can't find these guys in their mid-20s. They keep waiting for Granlund or Coyle or somebody to jump up and kind of be the guy and another guy to be the second guy, and they just haven't found that.
Right.
Yeah, my feeling is if you had a bunch of general managers over here, it'd be a certain discussion. But, you know, the question being, have they been good, you know, good for this community? I think they've been great. You know, kids love them. They play a fun brand of hockey to watch. Now, is that, you know, have they been able to find the formula to parlay that into a good playoff run, which sometimes is a little bigger, and maybe, you know, at times maybe that's the criticism, right? Maybe they're not quite big and stout enough. I don't know. I don't know, but I know most nights are a lot of fun, and as far as a community citizen, they seem to me anyway, they've been really good.
No, they are good. And, you know, when they signed Parisi and Suter, if you look back now, that, you know, if you ask the big question, was it worth it? Well, that's kind of a two-pronged question to me. One is, have they gone to the conference finals like they thought maybe was the minimum? No. Has it been an absolute business slam dunk in that they've sold out that arena every night? Their TV rights have increased, their radio rights? Absolutely. I mean, when he made that commitment, Leopold, he made a statement to the city that we're in this to win. Now they haven't won as much as they'd like. When you make that statement to the city, people recognize that and rally around that.
And I don't know, you know, I don't speak for anybody, but I'm about out and about. Again, I just hear nothing but positive things. Kids love it. The parents of the kids love the team. So they've just done a lot of good things.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd all like to see them make the next step, and I don't know enough what that is. Sometimes it's just a...
Could be just a player or two. There's such parity at that level throughout that league.
Yeah.
A couple players can turn the whole tide.
Sometimes they might not have the great one that they need because, I mean, let's face it, your all-star is Devan Dubnyk, and he's had, by his own admission, not a great first half, and that's considered to be, you know, the top guy that you pulled off from there, so you may not have that elite that you need, huh?
Yeah, sometimes it's the freakish goaltender and, of course, and a great goal scorer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I know everybody would love to have Ovechkin and somebody like that.
Hey, what age, Artsy, can you tell somebody, though? I know you said you need to go to the next level beyond high school to see if you got the chip. But at what age in general can you say that kid's feet move different, that kid's?
Well, I think you can see some of that at a lot of levels, but it's just hard to know if they have the computer chip, right? I mean, I don't know.
And the work ethic, or do most of them have the work ethic?
I think a lot of them have work ethic. I mean, you work with a lot more players than I do, Jeff.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of them that do, but you never know. I mean, I guess the ones that make it have the passion and the work ethic to do it. But you do see it at the you can see it even at the peewee level. There's some kids that stand out, and you're like, wow.
I feel so awful, and I'm so glad to see these junior gold programs and whatnot. But when I think of hockey, I think of that poor high school coach that's got to cut people. I can't help but think about that when I see how much people put into it, you know?
For sure.
Not an easy
Never
situation.
Will be. And it means that you got good competition. I get all that.
Right.
But I'm to sure sit in that office and, you know?
Yeah. I think every year the high school coaches dread that. The day that they have to cut it down.
They all talk about it, yep. Don't they? And trying to get it right. And usually usually your bottom end, whoever you're keeping, there's five kids that aren't going to make it, and there's not much difference, right?
Right.
So you're splitting hairs sometimes. Everybody knows who the best players are.
Right.
But, man, you get into that. Hey, gentlemen, I could go all night, but thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
We went in a lot of different directions, but just appreciate talking hockey with you guys.
You too, Maxie. Thanks for having us. And, again, congratulations.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, Kevin Hartzell, Jeff Teal, Sports to the Max, WCCO. Welcome back, Sports to the Max. We'll be back with you tomorrow night. Hugh McCutcheon is coming in the studio with Walt Weaver. Volleyball coach is extraordinaire. Walt back in the day at Apple Valley. Hugh, of course, say no more at the University of Minnesota. And they have been on a campaign that they really started last year, but it makes all the sense in the world to get boys volleyball going in the state of Minnesota. So they did that as a club sport and had some success last spring. The spring, because the gymnasiums are open in the spring. But Hugh, who is incredibly intellectual about the sport of volleyball and understanding it, and the same with Walt, they both believe, why not? And when you think about it, why wouldn't you have boys volleyball? It's a sport that's fun. It's a sport that makes sense. It's a sport that's not offered. It could be for kids that want a spring sport that they don't have. Why not have volleyball for boys? You know, and maybe Title IX gets in the way of it a little bit, but we're going to have to revisit that at some point in time, because you can't keep denying boys opportunities. You know, you can't play college soccer at a lot of places because of Title IX. If you're a boy, you can't if you're a girl. And you might have to revisit that a little bit. Al Malmberg's coming up next, and so we will set him up here shortly and see what's on Al's mind as we move down the road. But tomorrow night we'll have that discussion in studio with us. Matt Burke will also join us tomorrow night. John Bryant, head coach at Robbinsdale Armstrong, went back to his
own. Yo, Maxie.
There you are. I was waiting for Al to pop on. How are you, buddy?
I've been going, hey, Maxie, can't you see me waving?
That was interesting,
the hockey talk.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Lots of different stuff going on around here in Minnesota hockey, you know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you talk about the state of hockey. I mean, Minnesota is.
And the parents live it, and everybody lives it that's involved in it, you know? Yeah, and either you're in it or you're out of it. I'm not in it, but except to cover it a little bit. And but if you are in it, man, they know a lot about a lot of hockey players.
Oh, no question about it. You know, I was thinking of Larry Hendrickson as you guys were talking.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He could coach it, boy.
Oh, man.
Was Chris, who was from Christoph from Richfield? Was he,
Yes.
I mean, he was younger than you, right?
Yeah, he was, maybe 5 years behind? Maybe even more. But hockey.
And Richfield was a big-time hockey place at that time, right?
It was always between Richfield and Edina
for
the Lake Conference every year, year after year. Same with football.
And the good thing was you guys liked all the folks in Edina, so there was no rivalry there.
None whatsoever,
right? Yeah.
No, we were gonna have Brigadier General Robert Cardenas on tonight, but I couldn't get a hold of him today, and I'm actually worried about him. This guy had the most incredible career. The more I researched him, he was flying a B-24 in World War II.
Yeah.
He's 98 years old, Mike. And he was flying a B-24 in World War II, and they took all kinds of anti-aircraft fire. They were doing a mission over Germany, and they lost two of the four engines, and the plane was shot up, and he decided he was going to go around for a second run over the target. And the crew eventually had to bail out, and he ended up in a lake. And on one side were the Germans, on the other side were the Allies.
Did he know exactly where he was, where he had to get to, or was it too far away?
Yeah, he did. But he was also, a piece of shrapnel went right through his helmet, and he had a severe head wound. The guy started off as a second lieutenant and ended up as a brigadier general.
Wow.
Flew in World War II and Korea and into Vietnam. Over 30 years. And I'm going to try and get him on again.
Yeah, please do.
I mean, the guy is, you know, a hero. I mean, he really is.
Oh, yeah, I mean, but to think about that, the Allies are on one side and and the enemies are on the other, and you got to make it. Okay, anyway, I can't wait until you do and let us know when you're going to. But Al Malmberg coming up next on News Talk 830 WCCO, The Al Malmberg Show, keeping you company beyond midnight. Stay with us.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.